Good morning.
Good morning.
How many of us love to tell the story? We should never quit telling the story. Always be about his story. Welcome you today. It's kind of hot, but it's cool inside. And you have an air-conditioned car to get here, so we're good to go. You'll have to bear with me. It's been a while since I opened church service. So, Jerry, you're going to have to keep me in line here because I usually tend to skip a hymn or something. So, okay. Do we have any announcements? Well, I have one. Back by the bulletins as you come in, I left a school list. You say, well, the children just got out of school. Well, do you believe the ones in New York are still in school and don't get out till next week? So, We're kind of ahead of the game. But anyway, Jennifer Harbaugh, who sets this up, she wanted to get it out early. So I have the list, and down here is the date that you have to have it here at church for me. So I left them back there. Grab a list, and whenever you can provide. And we always use that back bench there by the mail tills to store the supplies. So when you're out shopping, if you see a good bargain for school supplies, grab something. And what they do, it's neat to see. They have their church basement and they have tables, and they'll have the backpacks lined here, and then they have this and this and this, and each child goes through and they select things for their backpack that pertain to their grade. So it doesn't go to school. It goes directly to the children, and they take it home with them, just so you know how they do it. But it's neat how they do it. Any other announcements? Karen, I forgot. With the ladies of the church, you're going to say, every time she says ladies of the church, that means work for me. Well, along with school lines, there's kids are out for school, and some of them meet, and it's through the mission, through the Frederick Mission, and they have lessons, and they have provide lunch. So if you ladies will see me after church just for a few minutes, I want to see if you want to do this certain task, okay? I know we're shorthanded, but I still think we have enough hands to serve, because what do we say? We to be the hands and feet of Jesus, right? So, any others? It seems like I'm doing all the announcing. No others? Okay, well, let's do the call to worship, Psalm 18, 1 through 3. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. Ooh. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I called to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for a brief word of prayer. Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a refuge, that we can come to you in times of storms and troubles and trials. And Father, we know that you are just always there, that your arms, loving arms are around us, Father. Always help us to remember that if we just go to you first and foremost, things will work out. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to come into this, to your house, and worship you and give thanks and honor and glory and praise to you. Father, we just now want to lift up the offering in the midst here. There's been kind hands that have placed monies in the collection box back there, and we just ask that you would bless the gift as well as the giver. Help us to be good stewards. Help us to be your hands and your feet here on earth. We thank you, and we just ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now we can turn to hymn number 211. And for those who can, please stand. Make a joyful noise.
Amen.
Now, may we share our joys and concerns. Bob?
I've got a few here. First off, we're happy to have our little great-granddaughter Gracie with us again on the beach and spend a few days or a week with us. I'm thinking, good Lord for that. And then we got family returning from Tennessee. We want to lift them up this day. Then our government, and actually they need our prayers, our leaders, for some good biblical decisions that they could make things better. In our church, our members, and there are people that are stricken with war, flooding. Father, we just also ask you for a special blessing on Brother Larry for his faithfulness to God and to our little church here. And of course, myself and my wife and my family and many others that are facing surgeries and hardships, we just ask that the Lord look into the many styles that will come our way and others' way. Thank you.
Judy?
I'd just like to say thanks. It's a joy that Kelly, my granddaughter, continues to support the church and that she went up to Weller to help with Bible school this week. And she did take a child with her. It wasn't one from our church, but at least she represented our church and helped out with the Bible school. And hopefully we can continue to help each other out with the children.
We should check with Mark to see if we can partner with them.
Yes, he was very thankful for her help and was glad to see her and everything.
Well, she's a pro at it. She should have been able to help them right along. It's a blessing when you get to spend time with family. Ralph's not here today. It's not because he's sick. He's just wore out. We had a family reunion yesterday in that heat. And between the heat and all the hugs and kisses from aunts and cousins and stuff, I guess it just wore him. It took his sugar level down, I guess, because he gave out a lot of sugar. Danny? We must remember Brother Sam, he still has inflammation here. He's still like Mickey Mouse, he says. And Sister Jackie, we got to keep her in prayer because next month she has knee surgery. Any others? You don't have any?
Well, you can pray for my wife, Deb. She's supposed to leave tomorrow to see her sister. Who lives on an island off of Honduras called Roatan. And she woke up yesterday with a real bad ear infection. And so she's trying to pack and get ready, but she feels lousy. And so please keep her in prayer.
Well, let's pray the doctors give her some medicine because that wouldn't be good on flight to have an ear. Any others? Okay, let's come before the Lord however you feel fit to do so. Dear Heavenly Father, once again, we as your children Come. Come to worship you, to give you honor, to give you glory, to give you praise for all our blessings, all the answered prayers that we receive over the days and weeks. Father, we just can't thank you enough for your goodness and your kindness. We should be ever, ever coming to you and giving thanks. Now you, Father, you know, before I even mention, the list is long. There are trials, there are tribulations here with health, sickness, sadness, Father, but we know that you know all and you take care of all. Father, we just ask that you would be with Brother Ronnie as he awaits a surgery date, that you would keep him healthy and well, and him and Nancy as well, so that when that date comes available, they're ready and ready to go. Father, we think of our loved ones who are going to be traveling. We just ask traveling mercies upon them. Father, we lift our government up to you, not only our government, but all over the world, the leaders. And not only government leaders, but we lift up to you educational leaders, spiritual leaders. May they turn to you for guidance. May they turn to you for direction and wisdom. Father, we just ask that you be in the midst. Father, we think of our church and the members. There are quite a few that are ailing, and we just ask that you would continue to lift them up, that you would continue to strengthen them and heal them. We think of Bob and Linda and Pat and Frank and Danny and Brother Sam and Sister Jackie. Father, we just ask that you would keep your healing hand upon them. Father, we think of, we just want to say a joy for Kelly. She is one of the young leaders of this church, and she does such a tremendous work for the children, Father, in your name. And we just ask that you continue to bless her. Bless her with good health, and bless her with just an ease at preparing lessons and guiding the children. And we thank you for her being able to go and represent our church. And Father, just help us to understand how important our Bible school is, and that we make sure that in the coming year ahead we do have Bible school. Father, we think of the joys of grandchildren. We think of little Gracie being here today, and we just ask that you would let her vacation here be enjoyable, and when she travels home, you guide her safely back to her mom and dad. We thank you for Kathy and the healing that you've provided there. Oh, Father, we see your mighty hand at work. We thank you. Father, now we just lift up Brother Larry to you. We know that he has studied and that he has meditated. And Father, we know that when he stands behind this sacred desk, your words will come forth. And Father, we just thank you for using him in this way. And we, as partakers of the word, may we listen and be attentive to what he has to say. And let's just let those seeds fall into our hearts and bloom, so that we can go forth and spread that old, old story. Father, now we thank you for all that you are and all that you do. Now may we unite our voices and our hearts in that perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The scripture reading comes today from Psalms 119, verses 49 through 56. And Pastor Larry, thank you for letting it be easy for me. The sermon title is God's Word, our anchor in the storm. Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. My comfort in my suffering is this. Your promise preserves my life. The arrogant mock me unmercifully. But I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Indignation grips me because of the wicked who have forsaken your law. Your decrees are the theme of my song. Wherever I lodge, in the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts. Okay, turn it over to Brother Larry.
I told Pastor Tracy I'm third string relief pitcher, relief preacher today, so it's nice to be back with you.
Well, then that means from three, you got a strong
defense. That is good to be back with you always. I look forward to it. And where's Grace? Miss Gracie, you were here last summer when I preached, right? I remember Gracie. Yeah. Well, Deb asked if I might sing again, and so I said that I would. And we're going to be talking about Jesus and the Word as our anchor in the time of storm. And I'd like to share a song. Chris Rice wrote this and made this popular. And he never gave it a title, so it gets sung and published as just the untitled hymn. And I like it because it, you know, we're all at different places in our faith journey, right? Some of us may be new to faith, some of us been in faith for a long time, maybe some of us had, you know, got sidetracked and we're back. Maybe some of us are in that exciting new place. Maybe some of us are getting near the end of life's journey. We're all at different places. Some of us are in sadness. Some of us are in joyful times. And this hymn kind of walks through all those different ways that we experience life and calls us in each of those ways to come to Jesus and to be with Jesus. So I hope you're blessed by it.
Sometimes you fall, but
And when you can't contain your joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. And live. And with your final heartbeat, kiss this world goodbye, and go in peace and laugh on glory's side. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Beautiful song, isn't it? Bob said I was prone to wander last week, and so maybe I should use the wireless mic. Today, as the front of your worship folder says, and as we've heard when we read, we're turning to Psalm 119. And I love Psalm 119. I think I've probably preached from some portions of it with you before. This wonderful psalm is entirely about God's Word. Every verse of it. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. Every verse of it is about the Bible. And the verses that we focus in on today, 49 to 56, which Sister Deb read, talk about God's Word as our anchor in that time of storm. You know, a boat facing a storm, if not tied down, if not anchored well, is in danger of destruction. So it's not surprising that the Bible uses an anchor as a symbol of our hope in the Lord and His Word. Now, can we be honest? Storms are part of life, aren't they? God never promised, I trust you know, God never promised that He would keep us from the storms in this life. No, He promised to be with us in the storms, and to see us through the storms. In fact, Jesus said, John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. Didn't put a period there, though. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And we hear the promise from the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 6:19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. Well, we could go on and on and talk about the storms that we face, a struggling economy, food and energy prices through the roof, a divided nation, churches falling into apostasy, cancer, heart disease, the loss of a loved one, broken relationships, weather struggles, war and strife, many places around the globe. We all have faced those storms, right? You have faced those storms. And dear ones, some of you right now are facing a storm. When life is hard, when life is uncertain, where do you anchor your faith? In this passage, the psalm writer reflects on a troubled time that he is going through. He's being persecuted. There are those forces against him. And he reflects on how God's word became his anchor. Pastor Don Williams, writing on this very passage in the Communicator's Commentary, says, "Hope shines brightest in the darkness. In this passage, the psalmist experiences both realities. He is afflicted and he is comforted. Anchored in God's word, he is unmoved and confident as he faces adversity." The date was July 1st, 1863. And the residents of Dover and Washington townships up in York and Adams County, around Bermudian Church, where I served for 30 years, not far from here, East Berlin, the residents there, who were some of our faith ancestors, that was a heavy brethren settlement as the brethren moved across the Susquehanna River. They were startled by a train on July 1st. No, not a locomotive. A 17-mile-long train on Davidsburg Road, which goes right by Vermilion Church. 17-mile-long train of foot soldiers, mounted cavalry soldiers, cannons, wagons, on their way north, only to be recalled to the west, to what we now know to be the Battle of Gettysburg. In those days before we had news on our phone, you know, the instant it happened, in those days, before radio, phones, television, news traveled much slower. But the brethren in that area had gotten the word about the advancement north of the Confederate troops. How frightening it was and how scary it was for them. You know, before that time, most of the battles of this horrible Civil War had happened in the South. And now General Lee intended to bring it to the north. A storm was coming. The battle-weary troops ravaged the area hard, stealing most of the horses, much grain, other provisions that the folks there had laid up for a long, cold winter. And in a day when a family's future depended on their work animals and the provisions that they had packed into their cold cellar and taken care of, put away for a long winter, the thought of losing all of that, their horses, their provisions, was sheer devastation. It's one of those seldom told stories of the Civil War. Troops from both North and South were guilty of it. As the war drug on, as it got hard to get the provisions to the troops, both sides were guilty of, as they moved through areas, just taking what they wanted from the local folks. But can you imagine? to look out your window and see a foreign army helping themselves to all your animals and the provisions that you had laid up for the winter. What would you do to get yourself through this storm? Well, some in the area around Bermuda Church had paid good money for what were called golden tickets. You see, a group called the Knights of the Golden Circle had come through that area ahead of the troops and said that if the Pennsylvania German farmers there, if they would pay them money, they would give them a certificate, the golden ticket, that when the Confederate troops come through, they could show that ticket and they wouldn't take any of their stuff. And they also were taught some secret hand signals that when the troops saw those secret hand signals, they would know not to take stuff from these folks. It was a scam. You think scams and hacking and some of that's something we face new. No. The rebel soldiers scoffed at these, who they referred to as stupid Dutchmen. It's what they called the Pennsylvania Germans living there. Scoffed and laughed and made fun of them as they took their animals and raided their coal cellars. Perhaps some others of our brethren ancestors found the anchor for their storm in their faith. As we face the storms of this day, of our culture, of our nation, of our world, of our lives. When we face the storms of this day, friends, there still is no golden ticket. No secret hand movements I can show you. But the anchor of our Lord and His Word still stands. Pray with me. Lord, storms are real, and some of us right here, right now, on this warm summer morning, we're facing storms. There are health issues, upcoming surgeries. There are strained relationships, problems at work, financial struggles. Lord, we thank you for the anchor of your presence and your word to see us through. And we thank you for this psalm writer and his wisdom to point us that direction. So now bless us as we study. Would you please be present in the power of your Holy Spirit to be our teacher? Allow this poor messenger to be way in the background and your perfect truth to be what's front and center. And open our eyes and open our ears to see and to hear your truth. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus, to reach out and touch him, and say that we love him. Open our ears, Lord. And help us to listen. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. Amen. Let's first just consider important details about amazing Psalm 119. As I mentioned, it's the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's really at the very center of the Bible. Now, different Bibles you might hold in your hand because of what's in the back, maybe maps, maybe concordances, and how much introductory stuff's in front. It may not seem it right there, but it's really at the very center of the Bible, this longest chapter that's all about the Bible itself and looks back over the old and forward to the new and says, trust God's word. It's an acrostic. And that doesn't show up in our English translation, so it's hard even to explain it. But there are 22 stanzas in this chapter of 8 verses in each stanza. There are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet, and each one of these stanzas goes by one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and every sentence in that group of 8 begins with that same letter. Now all that gets lost in translation to English. Some of your Bibles may have the Hebrew letters at the beginning of each section of 8 stanzas, but it's interesting how it was laid out. Made it easy for people to memorize and to keep that way. The whole psalm is entirely about God's word. And it uses 8 different words. And remember now, psalms are really hymns, poetry. And so in a literary way, the writer uses 8 different words to speak of God's word. And so as you read through long Psalm 119, he'll use the words to speak of the Bible: law, statute, precept, commands, decrees, words, way, promise. And we don't need to argue or fuss about how is a promise different than a precept, how is a statute different than a decree. No, they all mean, they're just a literary way of talking about the Bible. In fact, look at the scriptures printed in your worship folder. And I saw, I went through and I crossed all the words that are talking about the Bible just in these 8 verses. So we have word, remember your word to your servant. A little later, promise, your promise preserves my life. A little later, but I do not turn from your law. I remember, Lord, your ancient laws. A little later, the wicked who have forsaken your law. Next verse 54 there, your decrees. And a little later, law, and a little later, precepts. So all those different words, just in these 8, they all just, you could write Bible there and it would mean the exact same thing. It's all about the Bible. And this particular group of 8 verses is all based on the 7th letter in the Hebrew alphabet, which is the letter Zayin. That and a couple bucks will get you a cup of coffee this morning, but it's kind of interesting to see how that was laid out. So what do these verses say about our anchor? About how we can find strength, hope, help in troubled times with Christ and his word as our anchor? Well, first, it teaches us in the first verse, 49, that God's word gives hope. God's word is the source of hope. Remember your word to your servant, because you have given me hope. People look for hope in lots of different places, don't they? And where do you find your hope? Is there some golden ticket that you're clinging to? You know, this is going to make everything better. This is going to solve every problem. If I just had a better job, if I just had more money, if I just had a nicer house, if my spouse was a better person, then things would be all better. Stop it. Stop it. The only real hope in this world for us is our Lord and his word. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to to keep his promise. So first, God's word brings us hope. Second, God's promises comfort us in times of trouble. Verse 50, your promise revives me. It comforts me in all our troubles. When the troubles overwhelm you, friends, where do you turn for comfort? Some try to spend some money, buy something. Retail therapy. That'll make me happy. Some overeat. Some turn to alcohol or drugs. Some tune out and lose themselves in television or on your phone or on your computer. But if we will lose ourselves instead in the promises of God's word, knowing that all God's promises are true, knowing that all God's promises are proven, there's comfort. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Interesting. Did you catch that? The Lord is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in, what's it say, some of our troubles? A few of our troubles? No, what's it say? That he comforts us in all our troubles. And note, he comforts us so that we might comfort others. When the Lord helps us when we're going through a difficult time, part of his desire for us is that we'll take that same hope and extend it to someone else. That comfort. Years ago, we had a family at Bermudian that lost their 15-year-old son in an accident with our church camp, Camp Ader. And I watched over the years how many times I saw them as a family able to minister to other families who had lost a child. You know, if you haven't gone through something like that, it's awful hard to really know what those parents are feeling. But they could, because they had walked that route and God had helped them. You know, a cancer survivor will speak to a person facing cancer in a way that others can't. A divorced person who has found forgiveness and grace will be able to reach and talk to others who are walking through that kind of brokenness. A person who's lost their spouse. You know, we can share with someone who goes through that trauma of losing part of yourself when we lose the spot. We can help in ways that others can. He helps us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others with the comfort we have received. Third, God's proven truth sustains us in times of persecution. Verse 51 and 53, no matter how bitterly the proud mockers speak against me, I refuse to budge from your precepts. Whenever I see the wicked breaking your laws, I feel horrible. Persecution for our faith isn't really just a maybe anymore, friends. It's not. It's going to happen. Jesus made that clear. There will be those who rebel against God's ways, God's morals, and if you stand on his truth, you will face pushback. It's happening around us right now. Our brothers and sisters in the Church of Brother Nigeria, you know their story. They've been such a witness to us. Tens of thousands killed there by Islamic extremists. Families torn apart. Homes destroyed. Churches burned. Kidnapping, torture, execution, displacement. Yet they're sustained in their faith. There's a few of them from Nigeria that I've learned to know quite personally. And I marvel at how their faith has seen them through. We talked in Sunday school today about tribulation, the coming tribulation. The Nigerian brethren have faced tribulation-like events, you know, right now, and yet they've faced it with their faith. God's word has proven itself true. We don't need to doubt it. We don't need to question it. It's proven. 2 Timothy 3:12, Paul writes to his spiritual son, "Indeed, all who delight in pursuing righteousness and are determined to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be hunted and persecuted because of their faith." And fourth, God's word shapes a lifestyle. Verses 52 through 56. "I remember, Lord, your ancient laws, and I find comfort in them. Your decrees are the theme of my song, wherever I lodge. In the night, Lord, I remember your name, that I may keep your law. This has been my practice. I obey your precepts." Following God's ways isn't a one-time thing, but it must be a lifestyle. It must be an everyday thing. Today, I'm going to follow Christ's way. In this moment, in this decision, in this situation in my family, in this situation at work, in this situation in the world, I make a decision today that I am going to follow Christ and His word. Too many today want to change what God has said. Too many today say they love the Bible, but never read it, never study it, and frankly don't do what it says. A lifestyle is something that we as parents and grandparents must instill in the children. Our Bible, God's guidebook for life. Follow His path, and that will anchor you in the storm of this life. And here's hope, and here's comfort, and here's joy, even in trouble. Every decision, every day, following what God has said. Do you remember our key verse from last Sunday? Proverbs 22:28. "Do not move an ancient boundary stone set up by your ancestors." And we talked about how the faith are like boundary stones that the Lord has set in place. And we mustn't be about moving them. Our Lord's half-brother James wrote in his little letter, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says," James 1:22. So these verses from wonderful Psalm 119 today teach us that God's word is our anchor in the storm, teach us that God's word gives hope, that God's promises comfort us in times of trouble, that God's proven truth sustains us when persecution comes, and that God's word shapes our lifestyle. God's word, our anchor in every storm. You can depend on it. You can depend on Him. Anchor your hope on Jesus in any storm because He's unstoppable. In April of 1912, the great ocean liner Titanic was sunk. On that ill-fated ocean liner was a Scottish pastor by the name of John Harper. He was a great evangelist, and he was coming to the United States to speak at Moody Bible Church in Chicago. Traveling with his six-year-old daughter, his wife had previously died, and his sister, who was helping to care for his daughter. When it was clear what was happening on the ship, Pastor Harper carried his little girl and took his sister by the hand and took them to the lifeboat area and made sure that they were on the lifeboats with life vest. And then he stayed behind and began to proclaim the gospel of Jesus, asking people if they were saved. showing them how to be saved. Led many, many, many to Christ in that moment. In the icy waters later, he swam from person to person, clinging to bits of the wreckage, asking if they knew the Lord. They were saved. He came to one man and he said, Are you saved, brother? And the man says, No, I'm not. And in the icy water, feeling his own life ebbing away, he preached the gospel to that man. Then took off his own life vest and gave it to that man and said, You need this more than me. And sunk beneath the icy waters. At a reunion of the survivors some years later, that gentleman shared his story and how he had gone on to follow Christ. And he said, My claim to fame is that I was Pastor John Harper's last convert. Can you imagine? Even in that moment, his anchor was in Christ and the Word. About 2 weeks ago, one of my brothers on the Covenant Brethren Church Executive Board, Brother Scott Kinney, traveled to Africa, where CBC has quite a few brand new congregations. These are not congregations that were part of the Church of the Brethren. These are brand new congregations that saw the CBC Statement of Faith, said that's what we want to be. And it's amazing how the church has been growing in Rwanda and Democratic Republic of Congo and Burundi. Scott went down to meet with the ministers there to do some teaching and preaching. And as you know, that's one of the areas where there's such great flooding right now. He said this was some weeks after the big storms, and when they went into Burundi, where he was scheduled to preach, the streets were still about waist-high water, stagnant, hot, humid. So it was terrible. And people had lost, who didn't have much to begin with, had lost their homes, had lost, there was no food, there was not enough. And they said the church is down here and it's been flooded, but the parking lot is high ground and it's above grade, so we're going to go there for you to preach. Scott said, These people don't want to come and hear me preach in the middle of this crisis. They said, yes, they've been waiting. There's about 400 people showed up on a little crest in the parking lot where they could be out of the water. Scott said he cried because he wished. He said, I'd like to have brought them food. I'd like to have brought them help. Really, Scott's words, all I could do was share from the Word. And they were so thankful. As they were leaving in a Jeep, driving down the street, still quite flooded, the little boys were like swimming alongside the Jeep, running in the water, playing in the water. And they were calling up to him and in their language, and Scott turned and said to his companion to translate, he said, what's he saying? And he said, he's just saying, God bless you, thank you for sharing with us. When they got back to their hotel, and there were CBC pastors here from all of these several countries in East Africa that we've been working with and planting churches. The one fellow from Rwanda came to him and said, in our meetings earlier this week, I gave you a list of some of the things we're hoping CBC could help us with. We're building a building here. We need food here. He said, this guy said, just forget all that I ask. When I see what our brothers and sisters in Burundi, the need they have, anything CBC, anything you can do for them, you do for them, just forget about us. And again, Scott cried. He said, you know, I'm going to get in a plane and I'm going to go back to my comfortable home. And here these brothers and sisters are suffering so. And we're just thankful to have me come and share the hope of Jesus and the Word with them. Storms are real. The struggles are real. You know it. You're going through it. Me too. But in Jesus and in His Word, we have an anchor. Gracie, could I ask you to come and help me? Could you do something for me? Yeah, come on.
I won't embarrass you.
I won't embarrass you.
I have a little anchor. Could you just start to get one of these to each person, please? Thank you. A little anchor trinket. To remind you, one of the things I always liked about the anchor symbol is that the upper part looks like a cross. And I wanted to share this with you today as we think about Christ and the Word of Nature. Maybe just carry it in your pocket this week. Pull stuff out of your pocket, remember. It has a place at the top if you wanted to put it on a cord and wear it around your neck, or lay it where you have your daily devotions. And remember, that no matter what storms we face, Christ and the Word is our anchor. Everybody get one? We're going to close with a wonderful hymn, "One Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." And there is a verse that we'll sing that talks about the Lord as the anchor that holds even in the midst of the storm. It's 3:10.
Let's sing it together. brothers and sisters, in every storm, in every trial, in every tribulation, in every difficult situation that comes down your journey. Oh, dear ones, hold fast to the anchor. The anchor of our Lord and of His perfect word. And He will see you through the storm. Go in His love and His joy and His comfort and His strength. And go now in peace.